Welcome to selfdiscoveryradio.com, where the orchard of wisdom is just ready for picking. We celebrate your why, the journey that you've taken that inspires someone else. We support your services. We support your story. Come and be our guest. Become a host. Be an author with us. Come see what we've got. Our next show is... Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of For the Love of Music and Our Veteran Story. I'm double genreing today. I am your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest is Dave Bray. He is the Patriot USA performer. He is a veteran. He served with the U.S. Navy in the 8404 EMF Corpsman and the 2nd Battalion and 2nd Marines Sniper PLT and stationed out of Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. But music is his thing. This is what he loves to do, and he does it from a heart and a passion. He is a national touring musician, singer, songwriter, and has dedicated his musical career to supporting U.S. veterans, active duty military, fire, police, and first responders. And he considers his music a continual of his services, a very powerful way to heal, to unite, and to uplift, because we know that music most certainly does uplift us. It's something that goes right deep down into the heart of the soul, and it bypasses much else. And I have not yet even put up this posting before it went out there. I just put up some of his songs on SoundCloud, and before we've even hit a day, the music has really been very well received. So once you hear it, you will know why. So let's dive in with Dave. Why this kind of music? Why? What music really does mean to him? How it's healed him on his journey? And I can imagine when you are playing for the veterans, Dave, when it really connects to them, to the meaningful purpose of their service, because that's what your music is doing. We have a sound behind you. What is that? Got something going on. Ghosts.
Ghosts. Whatever's behind that curtain is making that noise. Watch out.
Yes.
The Scooby-Doo hand coming across is what
you've got to worry about. It is Halloween time, isn't it? Yeah. Or maybe it's just approval from a few of the veterans saying, hey, I'm listening to the music over here too, right?
Very cool, yes. And thank you for the very warm introduction, Sarah. I truly appreciate that. A lot of people will look at my music as tributive or therapeutic, because like you said, music does have the ability to come inside of our souls and come inside of our person and change how we feel or how we emote. And a lot of the things I sing about, a lot of the things that I have taken on with my new album called Music on a Mission, they are very heavy topics. They are about loss, service, sacrifice, and finding faith, searching for faith, being a servant, and also being a veteran in your country. And I feel like it resonates because a lot of veterans or military people, if you look at their lives, their service is this grandiose point. And when they come out of service, there's a transition there. And I think it's difficult for them to really see and to let go of that high point, that adrenaline, that high speed necessity to be on the edge all the time. And I feel like my music is in a way therapeutic for them to come back down to earth, back down to a level that, you know, enables them to emote and feel in ways that they haven't felt in a long time due to their service. So
grounding them back to the roots. I've interviewed quite a number of veterans, and they've also, you know, said that it is so, the reason why a lot of the time they re-sign up and go back is because, you know, they're so used to the adrenaline and so used to being on point. You're there. You're in the second, you know, that's all you've got to respond on. You know, you're constantly on alert. And it's like when your body and everything about you goes into tension and then suddenly you let it go, you feel a little out of control. Right. And for a lot of people, it's like trusting that out of controlness, trusting that you don't need to be on guard, and that you're safe. And it takes a long time for a veteran to get to that space, doesn't it? Some don't. Yeah.
It does. It truly does. And unfortunately, a lot of our veterans are finding a safe space in a not so safe arena. There are a lot of groups out there in America who are sort of rallying around. And I tread lightly on this, because some of them are doing some really great things, some of these veteran organizations. But a lot of the veteran organizations are rallying around some, you know, heavy partying and that kind of thing on a regular basis, which for guys that are coming out of the military into the civilian world, I'm not sure is the greatest, the greatest position for them to be in or situation for them to be in. And unfortunately, it takes a toll. And that is one of my firm beliefs is why we are dealing with the suicide rate to where we are now.
Yes. I mean, you know, let's face it, anybody who goes through any form of anxiety or tension or, adrenaline. I mean, we know what it's like, you know, what we can do in a moment of adrenaline is absolutely amazing. But at the same time, when that adrenaline goes down, all of a sudden you feel your energy has been sucked right out of you and you're depleted. But for for anybody that's in service, if they're out there, they can't afford that time of depletion. They've got to get right back up again. So it's how to stay there. And of course, music is one of those things that scientifically has been proven to reset you. It goes in there, resets your frequency. It calms you down. We still got that wonderful sound in the background. I don't know where it's coming from, but whoever it is, thank you. Come and join us.
It may be the fan. I'm not sure. You're in a computer fan, so it's all one. It's all one system. So
yeah, it normally doesn't pick up, but well, forgive us today, folks. music. I suffer from depression, and when I do, when I know that sign comes up, that trigger, I know. Oh, it's headphones. Leave me alone. I'm diving into music, and I realize through somebody else who does. Now I've forgotten the name of it, but it's galactic type speak. It's where they channel certain language, and what they're doing is they're resetting you back to your DNA.
Like a transcendental meditation.
And gotcha. It's the sounds that come out make no sense to you, but what they're doing is they're kind of speaking to, you know, your DNA, your soul and your heart connection, and they're resetting you. And I realize that when I'm listening to music, that's what music is doing for me. It's not necessarily sometimes the words or the actual music itself. It's the music that's resetting my frequency, calming me down, giving me that equilibrium and that breath that I need to take so that I can come back out and I'm back in myself again. And music is so utterly powerful, isn't it, in many senses, but particularly in that sense of bringing someone back down to a center point where they feel they can breathe.
Absolutely. And if you look at sort of how I write songs, I try to emote from my pen, you know, my emotion to my pen, from my pen to my paper. And then from there, I got to take it all and put it into a musical format. And I try my hardest is one of the things that I have tried so very hard and diligently over the years is try to never lose that emotion that I was feeling when I had that pen in my hand. Unfortunately, a lot of artists, they get lost in between the pen and the ear of the listener. And I try and focus so very deeply on choosing the proper words and very, in certain ways, very simplistic melodies so that it's not jarring to the ear. It's almost, I try to use a bit of the ocean. I try to say the ocean is a part of how that I write. I want you to be feeling like you're at the beach. I want you to be feeling that you can feel like you can trust the surroundings you're in. And again, my album Music on a Mission is not just music. It's actually a piece of literature. It's more of a audiobook that is coupled with songs. So I compare it to a great hour of talk radio mixed with some really great interlude music. And it's all relative. It's all circled around the community of service and sacrifice. And again, like I said, finding and searching for faith and, you know, honoring.
And the thing is, you know, you don't have to be a veteran to enjoy it or listen to it because, as you said, you've got all the first responders, you know, police, firemen and everything, which really do not get enough credit at all. And when you think it's a day in and a day out thing for them for many, many years and the things that they have to see, the things they have to do, it's a tough job. But it's also anybody that's in any form of service. And we have to remember that many of the time, people that are in service, we can have organizations that make it servitude, you know, more servant-like rather than of service. And that can be very demeaning and feel, you know, very unappreciated. And so there's a lot of people out there in service of one way or the other where they don't feel appreciated. And, you know, having something that recognizes you, I see you, I see your service, I'm right there for you. You know, I feel what you go through, and this is for you in gratitude. I think everybody needs that along the line, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if I look at my entire catalog of music, it's hundreds of songs that I've written. You know, I only chose a certain few to be on Music on a Mission because of that service element. I didn't want a song about, you know, mistakes while drinking whiskey or chasing women or, you know what I mean? All those different things that people write songs about. Mm-hmm. And I've got them too. I mean, we've all, anybody has
different
a
album. Different sure. album, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But this album, when it started out, was so very special because the first song that I released was called Last Call. It's been viewed over 1.8 million times on YouTube. That song has been used in celebration of life ceremonies for numerous fallen law enforcement officers. Yeah. I mean, to be able to write a song that can actually truly speak, not just speak, you know, emotionally or whatever, but truly speak to the families of the fallen and give those families a bit of closure. I've actually had a widow and her family came up to me at an event and they said, thank you for giving us our final words because we never got them from our family leader. You know, we never got them. She never got them from her husband.
Yes.
So, you know, those words in the songs, like I said, I try to choose them very, very carefully. I try to manipulate the music in a way that is dynamically emotional instead of being busy. It's definitely a ride, a roller coaster ride of emotions if you listen to Music on a Mission. And I hope your listeners will go to iTunes and download it. Please go download Music on a Mission by Dave Bray, USA. You won't be disappointed. Get the whole record. It's definitely something the family can listen to. And it's great for road trips because it's not just music. It's also, like I said, you get a little bit of dialogue to go along with it as well. It's a nice mix. It's very palatable and it's great for all ages.
I also think it's great, you know, for family. If you've got somebody that's in a service in the family, and, you know, when I say beyond the, you know, the first responders, you know, you've got all the medical people, all the caregivers, you know, all the people that deal with mental issues. You've got so many service people out there. You know, for a family, you know, as you said, on a road trip or all together one evening to listen to the album, to listen to the words, I think that there's a lot more comprehension then of what the person who's in service is going through and how they need then the support from the family, you know, and recognition from the family. I think we're so busy about going about our lives that we forget to appreciate or understand each other. And this is why so many people feel alone, because they don't feel heard. Maybe they haven't got the right words to use. You know, maybe they just suck it up and they go about their business. But I think when something else is there to remind you, you know, that this is what service is all about. This is, you know, what the sacrifices are. They're for you. And I think it just builds a whole thing of recognition and appreciation.
Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like anytime there's a service member serving abroad or anywhere, that family serves along with that person.
Yes.
That law enforcement officer that goes on the beat every single day and puts on a badge and essentially puts a target on his back in this day and age, especially here in the States. You know, we're seeing more and more law enforcement officers being targeted maliciously in murders without any type of escalation at all. You know, there are the return of fire or however that works, basically a combat element that is being brought to our law enforcement.
Yeah.
And the civilian community looks at our law enforcement and says, oh, these guys are, you know, just a military. They're just a paramilitary. They're, you know, we're supposed to be a civil population. But unfortunately, the escalation of how heavy and hard terrorism has hit all across the world, it has brought an essence of warlike behavior to those who have to uphold the law, because unfortunately we are forced to escalate along with the criminals as law enforcement, you know, officers will tell you, they go out every single day trying to save a life, but they're not going to let somebody take theirs for the sake of stupidity or for their own cause. We have legislators who make laws. We have lawmakers who make laws, and then we have law enforcement officers who have to uphold those laws. And the people in the public get it really misconstrued to say that, oh, this is just a cop with his own mind or his own beliefs. That's not the case. Unfortunately, the people that we vote into office are the ones who make those laws that officer upholds. And that's a line that oftentimes is separated out of politics, and it gets forgotten come election days and during the times we're so busy, creating friction between one another about this president or that president or former or prior or anything. We get so wrapped up in that that we forget what is actually happening and what our lawmakers are doing and the types of laws that our men and women in uniform, in blue uniform, are forced to uphold. And you put that officer, that police officer in harm's way when you are creating laws that are causing certain types of reactions from citizens. You see it every day on YouTube, you see it on Facebook. So-and-so gets pulled over. They don't want to show their identification. They feel like they've been unfairly stopped after the officer has spent more than enough time asking just to identify yourself. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure this car isn't stolen. You're not driving a stolen vehicle. Secondly, you have a taillight out, and that's a safety issue. But they'll sit there and fight and argue until the cop busts in the window and drags them out of the car and slams their face on the sidewalk. And, you know, it doesn't matter. At that point in time, you've broken the law numerous times. He's given you more than enough chances. The easy thing to do is comply, but you don't get a Facebook video out of that. Right. You don't get a viral video out of it. And that's what is becoming more of the problem, is to try to get a reaction. It's the old adolescent bullying tactic that is the kid who sits behind you and touches your ear until you turn around, haul off, and smack
him. And you're the one that's going to get
in trouble. Right. Yes. This has been going on since mankind has existed.
Yeah. Yes.
But now it's up to a more serious level in law enforcement. And I look at these guys, and I work alongside a lot of these men and women, and I see them on a daily basis, and there is an essence of pride in what they do and compassion in what they do. And they never show the video of the cop being the first guy on scene at a car accident, jumping into a burning vehicle and cutting the seatbelt off the guy and dragging him out to safety. You know, right. It's always the guy getting the seatbelt cut off and being beaten. And unfortunately, that guy deserved that beating. You know, every kid.
To put an upset disclaimer, there are an awful lot of cops out there too that it shouldn't be cops. Some of them go
for the bullying. 100%. We all know that.
You know, and there's definitely some bad policing that are going out there. And those, you know, people that maybe have had enough or haven't been trained well enough to equip with it have anger issues themselves. So, you know, we're not saying that there aren't any bad apples and everything. Sure. There's always bad apples. And unfortunately, the bad apples contaminate the whole barrel. In perception, right? And sure. No, we don't see enough stories of people, of cops or firefighters or anything on the other side. And we need to have the camera on that just as much.
Absolutely. You know?
Because we have to understand the ratio. The ratio of what we're seeing done wrong by the police is less ratio to what we see is happening on the saving on the proper policing on the other side of it. Right. But as you said, it's not a CNN story.
It's not a hit story
or a YouTube story, right? So, you know, we ourselves, if we're out there filming, if you see something happening, you know, with the police, there's some beautiful videos. And you know, when I want to get smiles, I watch animal rescue videos, and you see beautiful ones done, and there's some beautiful stories there, police with children and things. Let us support those stories more. That does not mean those other stories are invalid. But that some of those cop stories are completely out of control and they need to be dealt with. But we have to also look at everything, just like with everybody. We are individuals. We are individuals who are accountable for our choices. And any form of uniform, we cannot hide behind. You know, whether it is a suit or whether it is a military uniform, whether it's a police uniform, we are accountable for our choices in our life, our interactions in our lives, and what we do to others, also what we do to ourselves. And we know that a lot of, you know, veterans, whether it's police force or veterans from the military, along the line, they can lose themselves. As they say, they've lost their identity. They're no longer in the adrenaline. They've come back. They are not the same person they were when they left. How can they be?
Yeah, only a part of a soldier ever comes home.
Exactly. And it's who are they now? Where do they belong? What can they do? How do they shake these feelings? And we've got to understand that each one of these people are going to take whatever time they need to come back. Well, it's not even coming back to self. It's in the rediscovery of who they are now, what options are before them, and what they choose to walk forward in in the future. Everybody has this somewhere along the line that we have to do, the redirect of life. And every veteran that comes home is in that redirect. And in what I hate to see, which we do see a great deal of, is just throw away people. Right? They're too damaged, they're too this, they're too that, right. Oh, they're into drugs, let's just throw them away.
And I get into, I narrate on this exact topic throughout the album, and I'll give you a quick picture here. There it is, Daybreak USA, Music on a Mission. I don't know if it's the right way or not. But
yes, it is, it is. You got it the right way, not upside down.
Yeah, that's the album. I narrate on this exact topic, and you know, there's a million different ways to cope. In this world. And listen, any doctor out there will diagnose you however you wish to be diagnosed so that he can prescribe you the right pills to cope however you wish. Mm-hmm. There is only one coping mechanism that will ever 100% work. And I'm a firm believer. I'm a faith-driven guy. Mm-hmm. And I believe that if you offer your right hand and your knees to the Almighty, then he will offer that forgiveness, that faith down upon you, and he will allow you to continue to move forward and slowly start to take away the dark clouds from your head and from your mind and from your body and from your exterior.
It's igniting the heart and soul and spirit of God within you again, isn't it? Because when you're in battle, you know, it's just God, see me through the day. You know, when you come home,
kill everything in your way and let me live.
Yeah, exactly. And when you come home, it's, you know, God, see me through the day because I don't know if I want to make it to the end of the day. Right. And, you know, it's reigniting that faith within you, reinviting that connection. You know, God is within us. We are made up of God. Everything we see and touch is all part of the divine. And
we're going to go down this rabbit hole. I like it. Because I just came up with a really cool thing. I wake up in the middle of the night and I grab my phone and but I came up with, God is it. It is everything. When in death, you are a part of it. In life, you are a part from it.
Yeah.
Because we are created from and into it, from the image, right? Yes. So while we're here in this blink of our lives, which is in the grand scheme of, if you want to talk about God and everything and space and time, all those things, you talk about all those things, all those elements, in the grand scheme of all of it, you are in your own boat right now. This is the only time in history that you will ever or will ever come back as this or be a part of this.
This is your vessel. This vehicle.
So you've been given a vessel, okay? Yes. And this vessel, you can do whatever you want with. You can spray paint it, tattoo it. You can do whatever you want. Or you can serve. And you talk about some points you said something about sometimes it feels like you're serving. Other times it feels like you're in service.
Or in servitude,
And you can take what you love in your life. And you can do something and make it. It doesn't have to be one bang, 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 all about God. It doesn't have to be all about faith, Christ, religion. It doesn't have to be all about that. But little brushes are nicely tempered through any painting when you can add something so special as the Almighty. And it's just, I look at faith and I look at patriotism very similarly to how the future of this nation is going to survive. I have a t-shirt out that says, without God, there is no, I'm actually wearing it. It says, without God, there is no country. And I'm a firm believer in that. I firmly believe that if the people of this nation cannot learn to enslave themselves to God and do what God wishes first.
Okay.
And we are going to continuously go down the rabbit hole of being self-serving and try to self-govern. And trying to self-govern in this nation is not going to work.
No.
It's not that type of nation.
I'm going to hit you on one word though, enslave. I don't believe that is a word we should use.
When it comes to God, we should.
And no, it's not about slavery. You know, slavery has a bad connotation. You know, it's when we're in service of God, we're here to do God's work. We're here to ignite our heart and souls to one another. You know, we get
That was a lost in translation, actually. That word service was brought over as, I'm here to enslave myself to the Lord. It was lost in translation, Kim James. Somebody down below is going to mention this later. They're going to be like, yes, he's 100% correct. The word was translated improperly into service.
I prefer the word in service than in slavery because of the slave connotation of what slavery means.
And you know, and I think it plays into your free will.
That's the thing is
correct.
if you are
plays into free will. So yeah, I agree with you. It does sound better.
Yeah,
100%
yeah.
Sound better.
And that's, you know, because words have power, and that has been given a wrong power. So let's change the power into something that people perceive more positive and don't get stuck on. See, I believe, you know, in the gut instincts, I believe is the divine, you know, connection. You know, when you get that feeling and you don't know why you know it, but you know it. I always say that is, you know, when God speaks to you, it speaks to your heart, to your soul, that then resonates with your heart in truth, that lifts your spirit up into action, and your mind will know what it needs to know when it needs to know it, because that is the channeling of the truth of God. Right. And that is when we're invited into action. We're inclined to get into our heads and get stuck on things. Oh yes, but why? Well, how does it serve me? Or what's it got to do with me? Or why should I care? Well, if you're not ignited in heart, soul, and spirit, you're not connected to the presence. You're not connected to divine. You're not connected to God. So you won't understand what's going on in your head. It's only when you are connected that you understand what all this information is in your head and how to use it in a way that is of loving kindness service to humanity. And you can only give love, kindness and service to humanity when you find that love and kindness within yourself for yourself, because God didn't want you to sacrifice yourself for it. That's the servitude I'm talking about. He wants you to live beautifully, abundantly life and resonate that love, that God's love out to everyone else in celebration, in trust, in invitation, because that's what really the love is all about. Well, that's what God's love is all about. Not being a servant of it, but being a being of it that is like a beacon of light that shines light on others and invites them to rise up and embrace their own inner love so they can love outwardly.
Wow, I don't know if you wrote that down, but after this podcast is over, please go back, write that down quick, and then you need to bring that into your daughter's, because your daughter's getting married, right?
Yes, yes.
You need to use that in your speech tonight. That is perfect.
Actually, I do have a little bit in the speech there, because, yeah.
No, wait. Did the sloppy one. Writing speech, is that what you just gave me?
No, this is very much, if you listen to any of my shows, this is very much what I do speak to, because
I'm a spiritual coach
myself, and, you know, it is about, I've been through troubled times, I've been through trauma, and, you know, I've gone through something, the post-traumatic stress. No, I'm not a veteran, I'm a veteran of life, right? We're all a veteran of life. And how do you get through the times? Well, using things like music as an instrument to reset you, to recalibrate you, to realign you, to calm you down, but always to reconnect to the heart and the soul. Because when we get lost is when we're not connected to our divineness, when we're not connected to that spirit. And in a way, it's nothing to do with religion. It's to do with your relationship with God, with divine. And when you are connected, it doesn't matter what we're going through today. We know we'll get through it because we're not alone.
I 100% agree with you. I can't stress the importance of having your listeners. If I would have known I was getting on this show, I would have completely prepared a different organization, whatever.
These are organic shows. We go with the flow.
The point is that connection, that connectivity is exactly the way I wish my listener to take from my music. And that's why I narrated it, because I wanted to set them up. I didn't want to give them I didn't want to give them the free will. I wanted to take away their ability to decipher for themselves what the song was about. I wanted them to know exactly what each song was about before going into it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a similarity there. Yeah. In how we are spiritual beings, we are not given that instruction manual. I mean, we were given the Bible, we were given the word of the Lord, but we are not given a spiritual instructional manual, you know, to be able to connect with a lot of our emotions, a lot of our feelings, a lot of what we are maybe insecure about or completely abundantly overboard about. So, like I said, I wish that we had that as humans, but I think, like I said, if we look at ourselves and we look at our destiny and what we truly are, most people are really, really good on the inside. But when you start peeling back the layers and deciphering the differences of being one another, we're all, like I said, we're all self-governing beings. We all pretty much wake up and go through our own personal rituals every single day. Now, how we do those rituals may differ. I may wake up and make a cup of coffee and slam everything and spill it and stuff going everywhere, where someone else might be down to the grain, you know, perfect, you know, offering the blessing. And for me, certain things are done in love, and then I try to do as much in love as I can, because if I don't, I get super rammy. Okay, like if I'm working on something in a garage, or I'm turning wrenches on a vehicle, and I'm trying to get something done faster than what God already wants it, I already know that I'm trying to go above and beyond.
Yes.
You just need to slow down.
It's his schedule, not yours.
Right. Yes. Do it. Do what you do, especially with your hands in love, and I feel like the rest will follow.
So yeah. You're right on. Yeah. You know, I'm very much, as I said, a person when we need to take ownership of our own choices. You know, it's stepping into our I am. What everybody is given a gift, absolutely everyone. It's our meaningful purpose in life. It's our calling. This is what we are here to do. And in that self-discovery of what that is, what is our instrument? You know, once we discover that instrument, it's up to us to perfect it to the best we can. Once we've perfected it, we bring it to the orchestra of life, the we are's. And in that orchestra, we create a harmonic music that resonates like a symphony, an invitation out to everyone else. We can't be part of a we are until we've actually taking ownership of our I ams, our own instrument. But we can have people along the way guide us, support us, love us, show us a direction. But everything that we do, we have to do in that free will, in that ownership, in that choice, for us to fully actually understand the purpose of it, the meaning of the gift, how to use it, and how does it serve humanity.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, in the music business, I've stepped in and out of it in a serious capacity numerous times. It's probably the easiest business in the world to quit because of the lack of response sometimes that goes by days, weeks. Sometimes you feel like you, and the creative elements that sometimes are just not there. It's really easy just to say, you know what, I'm done with music, I'm out. And I see that happening all over the place. There's a lot of really talented musicians, entertainers, some of them in the veteran community, some are just out there just doing what they do. And then they just quit out of nowhere. I'll call and be like, whatever happened to this, whatever happened to that project, I'm done. I'm decided to do something else. And for me, I don't, for whatever reason, I can't stop.
No.
It's one of those things.
You're
that I know,
if,
I know that my best songs have yet to be written.
Yes.
I know for a fact that people have gotten behind me and given me the providence to say, you know what, Dave, like I said, without this song, I would not be here. Without your music, I would not still be alive.
Exactly.
And when you get those types of responses, you know for a fact the severity of what you're doing and how important what you're doing is. And again, I gotta send your listeners and your watchers over to Dave Bray, Music on a Mission. It's my storyteller album. You guys are gonna love it, especially if you love Sarah and her show. She's absolutely amazing. I'm so glad I got this opportunity to talk.
Well, we still got much more to do.
Good.
So, yeah, I mean, this is an hour show. So the music we know has such an impact. We also know that storytelling, since the beginning of time, has been a way that we've learned. We've learned from somebody else's story. We've learned about their strength and their courage. We've learned about their how-tos. We've learned their skills. We've learned their tools. And then we've learned to apply them to our own lives, either because we're inspired or we're invited, or we've learned the knowledge. When music started coming into the storytelling as well, it went beyond just the listening. It went to the feeling of the story, because it sings to the core. It sings to the heart, to the soul. Suddenly the words take on a different meaning. And this is why you can have people who don't speak a word of English sing in English, you know, and reach you. This is why you have people when, you know, in competitions, one person sings absolutely brilliantly, you know, everything pitch perfect, absolutely brilliantly. Another person comes up, might be a bit pitchy, but because they sang from that heart, that soul, that core of beingness, they just like a punch, go right into you and connect. And that song becomes something that ignites so much into you. And that's the beauty of music, isn't it?
You're pumping me up, Sarah, because that's exactly what I try to do. I try to make every song feel like it's coming from the raw soul. I want everybody to, like, again, feel exactly the way I've been writing songs for 20 some years. And again, there's plenty of whiskey drinking songs and beer drinking songs and all that stuff. But at the heart of what I love the most are those songs that when I am sitting there working on them, I get the goosebumps. I get the, you know, the tears start to flow. I'm just like, okay, I got to really start working on this now. And then that momentum builds. And my wife knows not to come into my studio.
Leave them alone.
My kids are like, just no. I'm like, no. You know, so there are these windows of creativity and emotion. And if you can find out how, just what, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't have to be music. But again, I use what I use in music as a continuation of my service. And I think if more veterans would come home and take all those emotions that they're wrapped in, instead of putting it into a bottle or a pill, join their soul and come back and pick up a piece of paper and a pen. Just start there and see where it takes you. It could take you into drawing something that is absolutely amazing. It could take you into creating something on an engineering level that you never thought, or something that you needed in the battlefield. It could take you to writing something beautifully poetic. It could take you anywhere. That pen and that paper are so vital, so vital to mankind, and especially to engage for what's happening up here down on the paper. Whether you use it or not, you are cleaning out your closet. You are removing some of those harmful memories and some of those things that have been haunting you. They might not be positive things. They could be negative things. They could be things that you've been carrying around or burdening yourself with. They could be lies. They could be things in deceit, or things that you did when you weren't supposed to do them. And you, if you just write them down, crumple them up, and burn them, you're one step in the better direction than you were by carrying that crap around in your head.
It weighs you down. And the things I call that spending emotion. It's very good to be emotionally tuned in, but don't become emotional about it. Right? These emotions are here as an indication of where we are and how we're feeling at the moment. Acknowledge the emotion, spend the emotion. Don't get caught up in the emotion, because that's when it starts to ferment and it loses its core reasoning and becomes something else completely, because you've now become emotional about it, right? You know, we also have, as you said, pen and paper, this, that, etc. Allow yourself. Don't go, well, you know, I'm not a musician. Well, I'm not a writer. I'm not that. You don't know what you are. This station is called Self-Discovery Radio TV, right? It's because we are always in self-discovery of who we are now. Even if you've reached a pinnacle point, it's like, well, where can I go tomorrow? What else is out there for me? Don't box yourself. Don't cap yourself. Don't say this is your limit. You don't know. It's allow yourself to take the journey, to explore, because we are exploratory creatures. We're always wanting to know more. We always want to feel more. We always want to say, what is possible? And no innovation today has come from somebody who decided just to box it and put it on a shelf. Oh, I don't know. No, these were people who go, but what if? What if we did this? What if we did that? We don't know what's going to come out of something if you're not willing to step forth and just allow it to come out.
My wife and I were talking about this J.K. Rowling? Is she the Harry Potter?
Yes.
We were down at the Universal Studios, and there's an entire Harry Potter world, okay? It's acres upon acres. There's a Hogwarts. There is a Diagon Alley. There are the little stores, and that you can walk around with a wand and make things happen in the windows. It's like being an old downtown England somewhere, you know? So it really, truly is amazing. And there's a train, that the Hogwarts train that takes you there, is its own ride. It's absolutely phenomenal. And I was telling my wife, I was like, this woman, I believe she was homeless, or she was...
She was on welfare. She had a kid, or even one or two kids. And she wrote everything by hand.
Yeah.
Everywhere in the cafe. And but she was on subsidy at the time, because her husband had left her, and everything was written by hand, and she just churned it out. The first one, I think, you know, has happened on a bus. But I mean, I've known writers who had taken different roads in life, and there's suddenly a story's coming out. And one of them, she's in traffic jam, and she ran out of paper and started writing on her arm because it had to come out. You know, nowadays we've got this recorder, you know, blah, 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 if you have to. But the thing is, allow it to come out. You have no idea. That gift is inside of you. God decided it a long time ago, gave you that gift. And even if you've had hard, turbulent times up to that point, no, God ignored me. No, God prepared you, right? If you've been in a struggle, all it is to teach you your strength and your courage and your abilities. Because if you can get through that, you can get through everything. Now here's the gift to take you further. And you are prepared for it because of the struggle you had before you got there. To deal with the struggles, to know your instrument.
Well, I'm actually on my own spiritual journey right now. So talking to you has absolutely been a blessing. But I actually started a fast, and I've, you know, fasted 24 hours before, but I've never done anything more than that. And I'm on the third day today, and I did a fast and I did a sweat today. I went to the gym, did a sauna for about half an hour, 40 minutes. And then I came out and I just sat down and I just kind of relaxed and just closed my eyes. And I didn't move, didn't think, and didn't do anything. I've tried the transcendental meditation thing. I can't shut it off.
Right.
So I can't get to that point. And it was the first time I think that I've ever gotten to the point that I was still aware, but not
yes.
in any type of connection to what was happening. And it was really one of those things that I was going to start back into, you know, consuming, you know, raws and stuff today with my diet. But I'm actually thinking about, I've been doing some research and about going further, and I'm just trying to figure out if you know anything about that or have dealt with any of that kind of physical.
My son actually is just finished it because, as you said, my daughter's getting married this weekend, and in preparation yeah. for that, he does a cleanse about every 6 weeks for about 3 days.
Okay.
Where they don't eat or anything. What they do is they will have particular kind of smoothies that are cleansing and this and that. And he runs a restaurant, so it's really hard for him because he owns his own restaurant, so he's around food all the time. It's really yeah. hard. But, you know, he's got into a discipline of doing this, and he says every time it gets easier and easier. And it's always the first day that's hard. But he said he just loves how he feels afterwards. Everything becomes clearer. The body is cleansed. The mind is cleansed. And, you know, he just feels more rejuvenated. But many, many people use the cleansing as a way of detoxifying the emotions, detoxifying the body, detoxifying yeah. any negativity. And, you know, what you do is replenish yourself with layers and layers of abundant love and devour the love, devour the gratitude, devour the beauty of your gift. You know, and let that sustain you, and it will do. I mean, people, you know, have gone a week or more, but I wouldn't recommend it first time. I would say three yeah. days. And then yeah. next time, if you wanted to, you go a bit longer and make it more of something that then becomes your bottom will know the system of. But yes, it's, for a lot of people, it's recommended as a way of reconnecting, because we can't take things on if we still are contaminated by what's been there before. So sure, the cleansing physically, emotionally, and spiritually is a way of preparing yourself for what is to come. So you're about to probably step into a beautiful writing mode.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited. I'm already excited yes. about that. I've already been, that's yes. already been done. Yeah.
Yes.
And you can't put a price. You cannot put a price on that from an artist perspective, because it's through creation of, you know, our songs and what we, you know, our compositions. That excite us and keep us, you know, moving towards growth spiritually and musically. And so I cannot wait. I've, you know, this is interesting. I've never done anything really in the hip hop world before. A friend of mine reached out and asked me to do one that was relative to, he's a Christian rapper.
Right.
So he wanted me to do something with him. And I did something about anger, and it was all about basically, you know, taking the rage you were given and just giving it away and just ridding yourself of anger. Mm-hmm. But the way that I delivered it on the record was really, really angry. You know, it was, I took the rage I was given and I gave it to God, you know, all those kinds of things, but I was delivering in such an angry way. Then just recently, my friend One Time is his rapper name, One Time. He's a law enforcement officer full time. And he's also a musician. And he reached out, and I said that I wanted to work with him a while ago. And he sent me a song called No Evil. And I'm sitting here going, okay, well, God, what do you want me to do for this one? And it was almost, I took a little bit of what I did for the one song that which was called Father. And I brought in some of those elements for No Evil. So that is a song that I'm actually going to record today. And it dives into, he is basically the character of good in the song. And I step in the middle and I spew out what evil is and where it is and how it's just everywhere. It's just, it's ridden, it's filth. You know what I mean? It's a really unique piece, but anyway, long story short, I spew it out and I just leave everybody there. And then I'm just this essence of chorus in the background, but, it just to be able to work with different artists has been a new thing for me. So, you know, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about a bunch of projects I have coming up. Again, I have a new album that's going to be coming out probably at the end of next year. The songs are already finished, so we're looking at pre-production. It's going to be, we're looking at working title is going to be called Love and War.
Right.
So that's the direction we're going. And, you know, we're just following the good word of God and where he decides to push us and direct us and be open to it and allow it. So that's
the thing is, if you've got people that are angry, there's still a beautiful way of leading them to love. When you've got people that are in apathy, that is far more dangerous because there is no consciousness there. There is no connection there. And they don't care what they do or who they hurt or why. They are void, devoid of everything.
Right.
And without that connection to the consciousness, without that connection to any form of source, they're always doing things to try and feel, but they can't. So if someone is still angry and outraged, there is always a door opening to bring them to love.
Yeah, right. I wrote that exact song. It's called Pay No Mind. It's on my YouTube page, but it speaks exactly to that. It's like, it just says, pay no mind, but I'll be right out here on the other side of this imaginary line that I've drawn around the rest of the world and myself. Right. So basically, it's such a level of selfish, it's a selfish apathy, I believe.
Yes.
I think apathy becomes just, I don't care about anybody else but me, but I've become to a form where I don't even care about myself.
Exactly.
And I think that's the last stage of it.
Yes.
And that's what Pay No Mind is about. It's again, one of those pieces. I try to speak directly to people who know or have felt that. If you lived in a home with somebody for years and felt as though that person didn't even acknowledge them to exist. That's what Pay No Mind is about. And it's about dealing with PTS and again, living with that issue.
Which is very, very important. Now I've been given a message to give you. I actually have just done a show that's going to be airing November 20th, and I'm doing a whole show under my Eco Solutions called Let's Get Synced, and it's the synchronicity of people around the world that are doing things to erase the consciousness, our climate consciousness, so that we can change the climate. We can't address the climate change until we're willing to change the climate within us. And I've interviewed some of the most extraordinary people in all walks of life from all countries. I've got 12 different countries.
Is that kind of like a Celestine problem? Prophecy thing?
Well, no. These are business people. These are people that with government plans. These are people that are scientists. But what it is everybody has come to the understanding that the consciousness needs to rise. The connection to God, whatever you wish to call it, source, has to be connected. We have to physically raise our vibration on this planet because we are destroying our planet.
Right.
We're destroying it with the apathy, with the anger, with the hatred, with the discord. All these storms and everything we're feeling is being caused by us. And we have to raise our elevation into love, into caring for one another, into understanding it's people, planet before profit. And these companies and everything are working with organizations to change that whole consciousness. But the one I did with a scientist yesterday.
So let me get this straight before you keep going. You're trying to raise the awareness of the human beings on this planet to change the actual planet's climate?
Yes. Right. Now, here, this is the reason why. Okay. I don't know if you ever saw the wonderful story of the water, the three waters. One water's in a room full of anger and hate.
Pray on one.
Yes.
Love on another,
yes.
Nothing.
Yes. Okay. And so, you know, the water with the anger is going to turn black. The one where you just ignore, it just stays as water. And the one where you give love and gratitude changed this beautiful crystallization. Well, let us be aware, we are 70% water.
Sure.
If we ignore each other, our water is just stagnant. It doesn't do anything. When we're angry or full of hate or full of everything else, we are changing the chemistry of our water, which then breaks down our organs, but it also spews out all this negative energy. When we choose to love ourselves, nurture ourselves, and in that resonance of that loving divine energy, we not only change the crystallization of our water, we feed our organs, but then we start resonating out that love in a vibration and a frequency that helps others to rise up to us. So, water, we are water. Everything around us is water. Moisture in the air is water. Let us be very conscious of what we feed. Because if we're feeding the negativity, that's what we're going to get. If we choose to feed the love from the core, from the divine, from the source, from the inside out, look how we can change the water into love and all around it. I've got Robin Williams from the Beach Boys. Beautiful shows on him on water, and I'm having him with this scientist come on as well.
Well, I'm a true believer. I'm a true believer in the water thing as well. I mean, water, like you said, is not only can maintain the shape of what that which is in, but it can also maintain that emotion with it, which is in as well. It's reflective of sound. It can do anything. It's very malleable, and it's I call it the Holy Spirit, and a lot of people actually relate the Trinity to water, the Father, the reflection of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost being that which you cannot see, the Father being the cloud from where the water has come, and the Holy Spirit being, you know,
the water of purification, right? So, you know, by putting loving water on you, it's so that it can purify the water within you into
I don't think we still don't know what the deal is with water quite yet. I don't know.
There's a lot. It has a consciousness of its own. It carries an amazing amount of energy. And this is something else for us to understand. We are energy. What we feed grows. So if we're going to feed the fear, if we're going to feed the hate, if we're going to feed the disconnect, that will grow. If you choose to feed the love, if you choose to feed God's love and nurture it and water it, it will grow. So again, it always comes back down to us and our choice. And even if you don't feel, I don't know if I believe, or I don't know if I can do this, you don't know until you try. So make the choice to try or allow.
Allow is a big word there. And I feel like, you know, a lot of the technology and high speed world that we live in, we're missing a lot of those blessings every single day because we're, once again, we're self-governing. We're trying to run our lives the way we believe our schedule needs to be run. And I feel once I started my own company and started really sort of being aware in society instead of running around, being on the phone, my, you know, wife trying to figure out this and get things done. And I got to go to the store and then I got to go to the post office and I got to go to UPS and all these different things. Once I got out of the momentum of not work mode, essentially, but just
duty mode.
duty mode, service mode, whatever you want to call it, to necessity. I felt like I was more connected to people instead of being connected to my task, which was, you know, I'm trying not to forget the 15 things. I slowed down all those things. I started making lists for myself. And those lists, those pen and paper, man, I go back to it. You know, those lists and things that I would be able to do. Now I don't have to worry about trying to remember 15 things while I'm running the 14 different stores that I have to do in a day. You know, I stop, make a list, and now I can actually talk to people. Right. I can actually hold doors for people and be something in society that I want people to see as positive.
Yeah.
When I launched my t-shirt line, which is called Brave Day USA, one of my first shirts was this one. It has the star cross on the front of it. It says, "Without God, there is no country," on the back. And I like that as a resemblance to putting on the armor of Christ, putting on the armor of faith. And if just like if you're out in public and you're wearing a suit and tie, you're going to feel a certain way. And if you're out in public and you are wearing a police officer's uniform, you have to act a certain way. And if you're out in public and you're dressed like a nun, people expect you to act a certain way. If you're out in public and you're dressed like a hoodlum, people might want to stay away from you. So
I felt you got to act a certain way.
Right. So I felt like when I put on these shirts, it wasn't. And when I started creating it, I got this feedback from a lot of people. They said, you know, Dave, when I wear your shirts, I carry myself differently because I don't want people to judge me because I'm outwardly showing my Christian values. I'm outwardly showing my faith. And I don't want people to look at me and be like, look at this scumbag, man. Here he is. There's your typical Christian. You know what I mean? Macy's Christian or Starbucks, whatever label you want to put on it. These people, they actually got back to me and their response was, you know, after wearing your stuff, I felt like I was wearing a uniform, just like I was supporting my Steelers or supporting my Packers or whatever your football jersey is. When you see another fan, and they said it actually made people want to come up and talk to them and speak outwardly. Hey, nice shirt. You know, hey, I'm on your team. I'm on your side. And we don't do enough of that. And I feel like these, again, my clothing line, everything is at DaveBrayUSA.com, by the way. I don't know if you have those links up.
Yes, all these links will be in, about to tell everybody anyway. So
yeah, please do. You know, and like I said, if you just want to give it a shot, give it a try, you will see a change not only in yourself, but also in, much like the water, in the way that things around you react. It's different. It's a different world.
Life is an inside job. You know, we have to take care of the inside in order to project outside to invite what we want back. But sometimes putting something on the outside can ignite the inside. Sure. It's a connection. So if putting on that t-shirt and you're feeling like I'm making a statement that I have yet not found the words within me, maybe it will ignite the words within you. So, you know, we have to be willing to allow ourselves to try various different things, allow ourselves to go through the process of feelings. You know, don't put it on, I don't like it, take it off. No, wear it for a while. See how it fits. How does it make you feel? What's the response from other people? Do you feel a connection? Is it igniting something with you? Another big word is patience. Patience and persistence. We don't get anywhere without it. You know, we can't push what we're not meant to do. If you've got 14 things and you only get 4 things done that day, but you ended up talking to people and igniting a spirit within them, that was all you were meant to do that day. You'll get back to those other things when you next have the opportunity to. So allow yourself. Nobody you meet is an accident. It is all purpose. And pay attention to that. Pay attention to each other. We are hungry for connection. We are hungry for loving presence. We are hungry for the warmth of God. And we don't need to look out there for it. It's within us. So why can we not bring ourselves together in song, in dance, in camaraderie, and be there for each other? Because that's really what the purpose is about.
Absolutely. And again, I think you mentioned earlier that many people in today's society, because of social media and the high speed of our daily rituals, you know, you want to be heard, you want to be seen, you want to be recognized, you want to be acknowledged. And again, I think maybe that was part of the change that happened in me. It wasn't when I put the shirt on, it was the fact that people were doing double takes on the shirt and being like in the grocery store line or whatever and saying, hey, what a cool statement. Absolutely. I'm with you, you know, mm-hmm. And that sparks that connectivity. Yes. And I know our friend Scott Husing, he's the author of Echo and Ramadi. He and I have been talking about this quite a bit. And he's made some amazing, you know, connections for me, you being one of them.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, it's just that power of connective tissue with people who truly are listening to what you are doing and have taken a moment to stop and really focus on what you are trying to get across and then say, you know what, I can help this guy or I can help this dude get out there and be able to do what he really loves to do even more. And, you know, if we would just do more of that for everyone just on the daily basis, even if it's the small things, like I said, holding
every little drop in the ocean counts. And actually, with Scott, I interviewed Scott before his book came out, and it was all about the book. The next show I did with him is the response he's had from the book. Yep. And it said everything that he went in with it intending to be, it came out with the reaction from people on so much more than he ever believed it could be. And so he allowed other people to receive that story and perceive it in their own way and connect with their own way and then share that with him. And so what he's learned about that story and about himself and what it meant to other people has been a beautiful journey for him. And it's going to be the same with your music. People will listen to your music and you're going to have 5 different people listening to it and it's going to be different meaning to each one of them because it's how are you speaking to the core inside. What is it ignited in them? Is it a memory? Is it a connection? Is it something they long for? And that's the beauty of music. Millions of people can listen to the same song, but it's going to mean something different to each one of them.
Yeah. And again, with my album Music on a Mission, I get so many responses of people that are saying, hey, this is my favorite song. I'm like, oh, that must be the quote unquote hit of the record. And then a whole group of people will hear it and they'll be like, man, this other song is my favorite. I put it on repeat. I listened to it for like 3 hours the other night. I mean, I'm like, wow, blown away, right? So you do get a different reaction from people. Some of those songs that I have on my record will go right past you. And you'll be like, okay, well, didn't touch me, nothing. And then for whatever reason, the next song is the one that just drives it home for you. And before you know it, you're on the side of the road and you're having to make a phone call to a loved one just to tell them that you care or that it's inspired you to do something with your life. I mean, I love the fact that music is eternal.
Yes.
And just like the fact, and if you're going to create anything, I mean, a piece of pottery can break and even get weathered or whatever, but music, I feel, is absolutely 100% can go on forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, the span that it has now in the digital era, the right song, like you said, one drop in the ocean, the right song can be it. You can be
the ripple effect
off and running, and it can touch millions of people at one time.
Yeah. And you know, you may only have one song today, and then, well, you know, I'm going to go and listen to the other song again. And then you listen to that, and suddenly it has a different meaning to you because you're different. You've grown, you've elevated, you know, you've transcended into your beautiful presence. And all of a sudden that song now means something else to you. And that's the beautiful thing of music. You know, you can also listen to a song today, not hear it for a while, come back and revisit it. And again, it's either takes you back to where you were on a good memory or something, or it lifts you up to another place.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. So this has been great, love. Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed it, Sarah. Thank you so much.
And, you know, thank you so much. And, you know, patriotic music, you know, doing it for the service people. But I think it's in gratitude to them and an upliftingness to them. It's in connection to us. It's not them and us. You know, they're part of the orchestra, right? They're a part of that we. But if we show gratitude for what they're doing, you know, and show understanding, we also then have empathy for sometimes, you know, the struggles they have at the end of day. And most, of course, we're looking at that as the post-traumatic. You know, how long can you do what you do without it having an effect or a scar on you? And then that's
a permanent effect,
yes,
right?
Exactly. And that's up to us then to step up and say, you know, we're there for you now. Let us be of service to you now.
Yep, I look at these UFC fighters, okay? I see them getting beat to smithereens, and I'm sitting there going, okay, you might walk away from this fight, and that's fine. You might get your stitches and your bruises will heal, but at the end of the day, you've done damage that you're not going to see
right
until 20, 30 years down the road. And I feel like the same thing is true for our veterans and our because they're, like I said, living on such a high adrenaline rate that they can't comprehend all of that which they are doing or have to do. Same with our law enforcement, same with our firefighters. You know, the whole deal is like you said, it's a daily ritual. It becomes a part of them, this level of high octane. And then 20 years down the road, they start remembering things that they did within those moments. And all of a sudden, their perspective of who they are and their self starts to change. And I think that's kind of what this PTSD is doing to these men and women is changing internally who they are. And like you said, and again, for my little 3-day fasting and the cleanse and the sweat that I did today, I can already feel somewhat spiritually uplifted. I feel like, because again, I feel like we eat so much garbage throughout the day. I travel all the time, so it's tough. So, you know, to be able to get a lot of that stuff out and start re-cleansing and finding a better, you know, a better mental state and a better spiritual state is really a blessing.
This is why you're seeing things like veganism on the rise. You know, it's not only the consciousness of not harming another animal, but it's also if an animal's been killed in terror, you're eating that terror, you know, and it's understanding that there is so much more to life than that. There's such a conscious rising right now. It's so beautiful. There's such a connection to the divine right now that as this kind of transcends religion as we know it, as the doctrine, it is a personal connection with your God within you. And that we're seeing people light up. And, you know, that it's becoming a Christmas tree. It's looking beautiful. And the more, you know, the more we kind of feed it, the more we're going to see that. And we have to, as a human nation, raise our consciousness. It's necessity for this planet. It's necessity for human, for mankind. To actually raise that vibration of love. And that love, God is love. God doesn't know hate. God is love. And when we step into that love, we actually understand. And in that understanding, we become, and then we are truly of service to one another. Because it's not about me being a servant to you, it's being of service to one another as a community, building our beautiful, divine, global village, right?
Yeah. I'm interested to kind of know a couple questions just for you. I mean, where do you stand on the kind of the Native American, you know, the ideology and how they treated the land and where they were spiritual? I mean, that civilization lasted for quite a long time and really thrived quite well until obviously our civilization sort of moved in. And, you know, if you really, if what would have happened if we would have left it go? You know, where would it be and what would its future like? And would we be having these same conversations about environmentalism and conservationism and those types of things if we would have modeled ourselves after them instead of them modeling
precisely them. had they lived here for thousands of years before we came, right? And it's like, had we learned from them the code of conduct?
We got one day out of Native American. We got Thanksgiving. We'll take that. Thank you very much.
But had we learned from them, because they didn't kill just for the sake of it, right? It was out of necessity, out of survival. They really respect the land that, that served them. You know, they had codes of conduct on how to survive, how to respect, how to thrive. And we came along and said, you know, heathens, and demolished them. And then what did we do? You know, man, humanity, man is 0.1% species on this planet, but we are the most destructive. Sure. And we are the most violent and the most revengeful. And so we have to look at it. If all these other species that have been around for so long can live cohesively together in a cohesive environment, why can't we? What are we doing wrong? And we have to reset ourselves. And as I said, if you step into God's divine love, you can't hate. Now, it doesn't mean you don't like what someone's doing. You don't approve of it. You know, you are not disappointed or against things that are being done by other people. But it means that you don't hate someone because they think differently, or you don't hate someone because they're lost. Hate begets hate. Love begets love. If you pour love on that person and more people do that, maybe that will penetrate through the pores and ignite something inside of them. Hate will just stir them up even more.
So now I'm going to ask you one last question. Because I'm a conspiracy theorist on the side. No, not on the side, but sometimes I wonder. Thoughts about otherworldly beings, UFOs, anything along those lines?
Yeah, I'm one of them. I came here thousands of years ago. I came here to be a soul awakener. That's always been my calling in everything I've ever done in life. It is to be a soul awakener. And I very much, I mean, for us to think that we are the only, human species in the world, in the universe, is arrogant and ignorant. You know, of course there are other species. I mean, we look at the beginning of time and all the buildings and all the knowledge and everything else that was there. I think that there was a fight over the species over the planet, you know, who wanted what. And, humans were servants to these other species, and they had their own war type, which left us alone. But they are actually seeing right now that if they don't step in and guide us, we're in our disruption of Earth is going to send a ripple effect through the entire universe that's going to be detrimental to everything else. Mm. So, you know, I think that we're seeing a great deal more consciousness of beings, and they've been here for a very long time. You know, it's not about the little green men and gray men. Yes, there are those, but it's about the consciousness of the universe is in us. We are a part of it.
Exactly. I'm kind of on the same path with you. So one of the things that concerns me, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of re-interviewing you now.
Yeah, I know.
But one of the things that concerns me is the overpopulated metropolis area of the Northeast of the United States of America. We have New York, we have Philadelphia, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Boston, and they're all within basically a 4-hour radius if you drew a circle. So if you do the math on the population of those areas, and then you do the math on the areas of wildlife that would be able to sustain that amount of populace, if it were 100% necessary, came down tomorrow that let's not be, you know, doomsday prophecies, but EMP happens. Mm-hmm. There's no longer an ability to get to, you know, food in and out of those areas. Those people start to come out into from the cities, those, you know, 7 million of 10 million, however many in New York, start to pan out and spread. It's kind of like kicking over an anthill, isn't it? It's one of those things where every man for himself. And I wonder if we are educating in case of. It's almost, I don't want to say that it's bound to happen, but at some point in time, I feel like it probably will. And I don't feel like we educate enough in, I know we do fire prevention, we do safety, all these things. I don't think that there's a plan in place that's even remotely close to be able to sustain in a way what that, you know, Ant Hill, you know, doomsday sort of prophecy would look like. And I'm trying to figure out where your spirituality and your faith and all those things are going to collide with that possibility and what we can do to prevent a, you know, crisis or a complete breakdown in civilization.
I've spoken to Esther quite a lot, actually, and channeling Ascension shows and my own shows, because there's a lot of genres here at selfdiscoveryradiotv.com. And, you know, I believe like 30% of the Earth's population is going to die out in the next short time period. And a lot of that is people my age. I'm a baby boomer. I'm the youngest of the baby boomers. And we're going to see, you know, baby boomers, we've never seen people of this age live this age and longer, you know, ever in the history of time of this many people. So when we go, well, there's a huge chunk of that percentage that goes. But we're also seeing, obviously, wars, we're seeing diseases, we're seeing other things happen where we're thinning out the population, which is nature taking care of things, rebalancing, recalibrating.
Right.
But, you know, if we step out of the arrogance and the ignorance, and we look to what other countries are doing. Many countries are putting greenery around wherever the concrete is to, for the carbon dioxide to absorb, to give us better oxygen, you know, rooftop gardens, vertical gardens on balconies. The thing is, they're understanding they've got to bring the green in to the urban. They've mm-hmm. got to bring the nature into the and you're seeing a lot more in new buildings being developed, incorporating that.
Right.
But when you have people still denying this climate change or denying nature itself, you know, we have a problem. They're going to get left behind because, as I said, under this Eco Solutions series, I'm interviewing people that are part of that change. And the change is coming about corporately. It's coming out manufacturingly. It's coming about the way business practices are done. It's coming about the balance, the people, planet before the profit, not the profit at the expense of the people and the planet. And so mm-hmm. there's a whole mind shift changing. But, you know, I'm a fan of The Walking Dead, you know, I mean, because sure. I always call it a study in nature, you know, mm-hmm. what people do to survive. Now, will you survive at any expense, at the cost of your soul, at the cost of your spirit, at the cost right. of your presence? I couldn't. And, you know, if I'm taken out of that and I just have to mindlessly kill just to survive, I couldn't do that. Right. Not me. But we have to ask ourselves those questions. Why are we not wait? You know, why do we wait for a disaster to happen? Why do we not ask ourselves now, what would our conscience do? What do we right. need to do to prevent the stitch in time? But we are going to see a massive shift. We are in that. And I'm saying that they're turning up the volume on us, our frequency. And we are going to see a good 30% of Earth's population be left behind, go like the way of the dinosaurs, because the frequency has been raised to a certain level. And if you're not up at that frequency, if you're not resonating on that frequency, the frequency of God's love, then you're going to get left behind and just go by the wayside. So it is the survival of the human race is those that step into the higher loving frequency.
It's interesting. Okay, so I got a couple more questions because now you got me fired up. solar power.
Yes.
Is it worth taking away the light source from the greenery to sustain our necessity for energy?
There are so many different ways of powering now, and this is something we're discovering. Solar is just one.
Sure.
And, you know, and solar
they take up a lot of space. You know,
they do take up a lot of space, but at the same time, they give a great deal of energy. But there's also now water energy that really can power quite considerably. There's crystal energy that they're discovering that really can power a great deal.
See,
I'm not going to go into the science of it because I wouldn't be able to do it justice. Sure. But, you know, in talking to Nanamoto, Eco Solutions on November 12th and Get Synced. You know, he talks to the power of water and he talks to how, you know, they're looking at water in the way the process it, how it can actually generate an enormous amount of energy. The thing is, there are the scientists and the innovators out there. There are the solutions. The solutions have already been found. What we need to do is step up and start implementing them. And that means governments can get out of the way.
What if those solutions just bring us back to living as Native Americans?
We'll never go completely back that way, because we it's not about going backwards. It's not about going reset. You know when you have on your phone, your pictures, your information, your everything, sure. And something goes wrong, you've got to reset it back to factory and you lose all of that. We don't need to lose all of that, right? We can back up. What it is, though, is
we don't need the phone.
Well, it depends. It depends. I mean, we're doing this on the computer right now. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I love the internet. I love
but
what
need the phone is different than need.
It is. It depends what your reason for is in life and what that thing is for. But the thing is, it's balance. And the thing is, if we do not balance our needs and our desires along with what nature can sustain us, another wonderful show I've done is Normal is Over, which also under the Eco Solutions. It's a documentary that she's done, which talks about our consumption. And we have been taught more is better. And we know more isn't better. All we end up is with more stuff, more in debt, unable to sustain it, and we're empty on the inside. More inside out is better. Learning to love yourself and ignite that God's love within you and resonate out abundantly. That's where more is better. But purchasing to appease and make you happy is only going to make you an empty vessel. And that is something that's been realized. People are beginning, you can't buy love. You can't buy happiness. You can't buy that inner connection to God. It just can't.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I don't think anything is ever, there is only one cure. And that is faith, and then digging into it as hard and as strongly as you possibly can, rooting yourself into it.
Right. It's still contrary on that weather, but the thing is realizing it's our beingness. When we are actually at one with our divine presence, we are a human being. We are in our beingness, which means we're in our actionism. We're not just being it, we're out there resonating it. We are sharing it. We are that light that others see. And so in that beingness, we are in our truth, right?
Well, I know there was a study, I don't know if it was a study done or if it was a scientist, and I can't remember his name, but he was prophetic in the fact that the soul is something that's given to you. And that as you are born with it, it grows along with you, but it doesn't live inside of you. It lives everywhere around you. And it's just one of those things that it is both grown from within and given from without at the same time. And that's an interesting concept, because a lot of people only think of within.
Right.
But what we cast out is the web is more important. And that there may actually not even be an edge to our souls.
There isn't an edge to anything. It's abundant. It's infinite. It has no boundaries. We're the ones that like to compartmentalize everything.
Because we live in this thing.
Yes. And even in this vessel that we're in right now, this is the limitation of what this vessel. But when we step into our divine energy and our presence and what we exude out, what we present out transcends this body over and over again. The limitedness of it is in our little minds. But when we listen from the heart, soul, and the spirit, we understand our mind's knowledge and know how to use that wisdom in a way that serves such a greater good. So we've got to stop limiting ourselves.
Yeah, I've carried a mantra since I was a young punk kid that was never stop believing you're immortal until you're dead. So,
and even then, all that's dead is the body, not the soul or the spirit.
That's why I said never stop believing.
Exactly.
So let me ask you this. And again, I hate to sidestep and ask you these questions, but you're the subject matter expert, so I might as well throw you that. While I got you here.
I'm just the perception.
What are you going to do with your physical being after it's finished here? What are
My spiritual and my soul will carry on. Become present in another vehicle and carry on its teachings. But I do believe this is what we learn And what energy that we decide to reside in this lifetime is the energy that will go on. So if I'm still in discord or bitterness or resentment or fear, I'm going to take that same energy on into the next presence. If I have chosen to step into love and be love and resonate from that love, that is the energy that I will take forth. So I always say, clean up your own chute this lifetime so you don't have to impose it on another.
Yeah. So what about your physical being, your body? There's all the different types. There's cremation. Now they're actually.
I will be cremated and planted as a tree.
Okay. So what about, there's those sacks that you can get and then they plant a tree on top of you and then the tree just eats you over the time.
That's fine. My body's gone. They can have my ashes. My soul and my spirit is there. You know, I call these shows, all the archive shows, the Orchard of Wisdom, ready for the clicking, right? Okay. And so, you know, for me to be present in a tree that grows, and it would be a willow tree, because I believe I've become the willow tree. I'm firmly rooted. I have a very strong core, but my branches are forever going in the wind, whichever direction I need to go in.
I gotcha. I'm a little worried about that cremation thing. You're contributing to global warming on that one.
No, I don't believe the body in the ground. I think that earth belongs to life. So that's why by becoming ashes and becoming a tree is then contributing to life.
Gotcha. I gotcha. So I think I'm good on my spiritual,
We did turn tables around today, right?
Today, yeah. No, it was a great conversation. I truly enjoyed it. And I wish I was joining you for your wedding.
Yes. No, it's going to be a fun wedding. It's in an apple orchard. It's my youngest getting married. It's a vegan wedding, and it's going to be very, very organic and fun. And we're actually having a Halloween party the night before. So it's, the party starts even from tonight. So
no pumpkins will be injured during this Halloween.
No. And no, they'll be made into soup. That's what my son does. His restaurant's called Humble Roots. And so everything is made from the earth locally, which is wonderful. Yeah.
Talk about a franchise. Let me bring one down here.
Yeah. Oh no, God, it's good food. He's winning all sorts of awards in his first year. I'm very proud of him. So
that's beautiful. Yeah. I love hearing that, man. Mm. So I think, do we have anything else?
Remind people again where they can get the music, where they can get the t-shirts, where they can find you, where they can book you. Where do they go?
So if you want to put on the armor, and if you want to listen and you want to get down with some Dave Bray USA, it's all about God and country, faith and patriotism, respect, not only for the next generation, but each other. You can go to DaveBrayUSA.com and you can find just about all my videos there. But if you also just check out any other social media site, it's DaveBrayUSA. That's DaveB as in boy, RayUSA, DaveBrayUSA on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all those things. Go check out the YouTube videos. I think that your listeners would love my version of Amazing Grace.
Right. And which song should we close out with? Should we close out with The Amazing Grace? Should we close out with which one?
Let's do that. Let's go to Amazing Grace.
Okay. So I'm going to say goodbye to everyone and just let the music play. Thank you so much, Dave. It's been absolutely wonderful and really tables turned, but I loved it. This is what organic conversations are all about. And I encourage everyone, you know, Christmas is coming up. What a wonderful gift to give to people, okay? It's a gift of love. So until next time, folks, bye for now.
Thank you.
For more wonderful shows like this, please go to selfdiscoveryradio.com, podcasts, and see our lineup. And if you wish to support us, we have a funded button. Please stay tuned for our next show.